Our next presenter up will be Mr. Gareth Remington. Gareth is the AFC Principal Engineer for Joy Global, based out of Worcester, UK. He has a first-class Bachelor of Engineering degree in Multidisciplinary Engineering from the University of Sunderland. He's also a registered charter engineer with the Institute of Engineering and Technology, a member of the Institute of Materials, Minerals and Mining. So he will be giving a presentation titled Variable Speed Drives on Armored Face Conveyors. So, Gareth?
Thanks, Brendan. Okay, I'd just like to take this first opportunity really to thank the committee for giving me that opportunity to come up here and talk to you about armored face conveyors today. So I'm going to talk to you about armored face conveyors and variable speed drives on armored face conveyors. And we're going to look at some of the benefits of using these on the longwall, but also outline the challenges that that these can cause for the mine operators. But first of all, we're going to start by looking at or going through the history of longwall mining and face conveyors, and we'll start with a not quite so brief look at how we got where we are today. So the longwall mining method was developed in England around the mid-17th century, and it was known as the Shropshire method of mining, and the technique was primarily used for ironstone mining, and was born out of the county of Shropshire in the West Midlands, where the miners began to undercut the mineral using hand tools, allowing it to cave. In these early times, the seams are very thin, usually no more than a metre, which is just over 3 feet, and therefore only efficient means of transporting the wood material along the face was by employing children to drag sleds with the material piled high. Now, a child can work at approximate rate of about a sixth of a horsepower, and there would be around two children at any one time on these coal faces. So we could say in those times the amount of power we used to use to convey the mineral from the longwall was about a third of a horsepower. By the early 1900s, mechanisation saw the introduction of belt conveyors on longwall coal faces, and these conveyors would be twist belts, or bottom belts as they're sometimes known, and these continued to be used right up until the 1970s in some low productivity mines. Twist belts are a method of operating a conveyor belt where the belts actually run in reverse, and the top belt is suspended from the roof level with flat rollers, allowing the bottom belt to drag along the floor with no structure beneath it, so that loading can be done by hand unhindered. At the delivery point, the belt performs a 180 degree twist, hence the name. This tips the mineral from the belt just prior to going into the conveyor drive. The first armoured face conveyors were put in use in the UK at a colliery called Plesley Colliery, and that was in about the 1950s. The equipment was a German design called the Schnellhobel, or quick-planed coal face, and it's likely that this would have been a single-drive conveyor with twin outboard chain and around 50 installed horsepower. By the mid-70s, AFCs had become well-established as the machine of choice for clearing the wood material from the longwall coal face, and the roots of longwall mining as we know it were by now well established. Fluid couplings were also at this time introduced as a means of soft starting AFCs and preventing motor stall at high loads. And these were used in conjunction with single speed AC induction motors, typically between 60 and 120 horsepower. And by the early 1990s, fluid couplings and single speed motor combinations were the accepted norm for AFC drives, and were being used in applications of up to 700 horsepower. Electrical power supplies were at this time required to be quite robust in order to sustain heavily loaded starts, and standard AC induction motors can draw up to between 8 and 10 times full load current during an unloaded start. And therefore, as AFCs were becoming more powerful, the electrical power supplies required to support them were also required to withstand these very high current demands. The problem of being able to supply the power to start these armoured face conveyors led to the development of the high voltage drives, and this was an effort to reduce the current carrying requirements and transmission losses of the electrical power supply infrastructure. In the mid-1990s, two-speed motors were introduced to the AFC drives to help reduce the demand on electrical power supplies. Two-speed motors for the AFC application were often wound with an 8-pole stator to give an extremely high torque capability but low speed, and also a 4-pole stator to give the high speed. These are directly connected to the AFC gearbox with no fluid coupling. The method of operation of these motors was to start the conveyor initially on the 8-pole stator. Once the AFC chain had then moved off and the motor had achieved almost full speed, power would be switched to the 4-pole stator with its 1800 RPM synchronous speed but lower torque characteristic. In addition to having two separate sets of poles, these motors were often connected with the 8-pole circuit in the Y configuration to allow low current demand on start, and their 4-pole circuit in the more conventional delta configuration to give the high torque capabilities. When operated in this way, maximum starting torque is extremely high with lower starting current, whilst high speed and high torque is still also attainable. If you look on the chart there, the blue and brown line is the 8-pole torque and current, and the green and red line would be the same torque and current lines for the 4-pole or the 1800 RPM configuration. Then in the late 1990s, Joy Global developed the Triple T controlled fluid coupling and was first used on AFC applications. And this move opened the door for larger powered AFCs. The introduction of these also signaled a move away from two-speed motors, which, despite their improvement on previous systems, still had their limitations and required a relatively robust power infrastructure to deal with heavy starts. The Joy Global Triple T coupling enabled large multiple motor AFC drives to become a reality, as this technology allows the motors to start sequentially offload and then simultaneously apply their power to the chain. Power supply system specifications could now begin to be rationalised as routine start power requirements fell by almost a half, from typically 15 times full load current for a three-drive two-speed system to around 8 times full load current for an equivalently powered three-drive triple T system. And the Joy Global Triple T system was developed in a partnership with Voith and is a variant of the also widely used DTP coupling. Following its introduction, the controlled fill fluid coupling became the transmission of choice for long-wall AFCs and remains to be the most prolific AFC drive system to date. And by the early 2000s, variable speed drive technology was relatively well developed and was first applied to the AFC in the 1,000 volt range at up to 670 horsepower. In these early days, VSD technology was used primarily to aid soft starting of the conveyors and help protect against power dropouts during heavy starts. One of the main advantages of variable speed drives, apart from the availability of high torque over the full range of shaft speed, is their inherent extremely high torque efficiency. That's to say they require only a relatively small amount of current to produce high levels of torque at all speeds. And despite these factors, the advances in longwall mining techniques quickly outpaced the continuing development of the variable speed drive, and the limits of capability of the 1,000 volt system were quickly reached. High voltage motors were the only answer to this capacity problem, and unfortunately, at this time, this precluded the further use of VSDs. In more recent times, AFC power requirements have continued to grow in order to keep pace with the ever-increasing output requirements of the high-capacity longwall. And in 2008, Joy Global introduced the first high-voltage AFC motor underground in New South Wales, Australia. Each of the two 11,000-volt motors installed were able to deliver up to 2,175 horsepower to the AFC sprockets, whilst drawing only around a third of the current of the equivalent 3,300-volt motor. And this installation presented a significant milestone in the development of AFC drive technology. 2013, Joy Global designed and successfully commissioned an AFC for a longwall mine in Dahlgren, Illinois, with three 1672 horsepower, 4160 volt motors on a 1400 foot longwall coal face, giving a total installed power of over 5,000 horsepower. The AFC utilises the 562 Triple T coupling and is capable of a peak output of over 4,000 tonnes an hour. And last year, the variable speed drive technology finally caught up with the times again, and the 4160 fully integrated variable speed drive was introduced to the AFC market. Its long-awaited introduction once again opened the door to the many opportunities for efficiency improvements in longwall production. Longwall control and automation has moved on drastically in the last decade, and modern control and automation systems are able to interface with and take advantage of today's variable speed AFC drives. And finally, this year, Joy Global have designed machines with three 2170 horsepower drives capable of peak production capacities of over 7,300 tons per hour. These conveyors can utilise 60mm twin inboard conveyor chains and can produce sprocket torques in excess of 1.25 million foot-pounds. So as we've seen in the last few slides, the developments in phased conveyor drives have been quite dramatic over the years. One key theme throughout all of this, but more particularly in the last 20 years, has been the need to consider not only how to get more power into the phased conveyor to increase production rates, but also how to enable power supply systems to reasonably cope with this increase in demand. High-torque, heavy-duty motors are a must for high-spec armoured phase conveyors, but one drawback of these is their very high inertia rotors, leading to a high peak current demand on startup. The next section will consider how variable speed drives are able to help deal with these power supply issues and also offer many more benefits to the longwall system operator. Typically, the AFC drive system is the largest power consumer in a mine, and paradoxically, it's also often situated in the most remote area underground. The ability to provide a stable and stiff power supply to this machine very often provides a significant challenge to the mine operators, and supply system is tested never more so than when the large fixed speed motors with their high inertia rotors are started, with current demands being as high as 8 to 10 times full load. The reason for this large current draw on starting is due to the difference in rotational speed between the electric field in the motor's stator and the rotational speed of the rotor. The current drawn by the rotor is a function of this difference in speed, and therefore at the instant the power is applied to a stationary motor, this difference in speed and current flow is largest. Because the power electronics within a VSD are able to provide the motor with power at a frequency to suit its current operating condition, the speed of rotation of the electric field in the stator is controlled. And this is controlled as a function of the speed of the rotor. Therefore, the current drawn from the electrical supply is also controlled. In essence, VSD motors always operate between 0.1 and 2% slip, regardless of actual rotor speed. And the chart you can see here is a torque and current versus speed graph for a mining AFC motor. When fed with a fixed speed frequency supply, the motor utilises the entire curve. However, when fed with a variable frequency supply, the motor only ever operates in the highlighted band. It can be seen from this chart that under fixed frequency conditions, the current in this particular motor can be as high as 9.5 times full load current during start. And for the equivalent variable speed drive, operating only within the highlighted band, the stator frequency is increased in a controlled manner, limiting the amount of slip and therefore current drawn from the supply. Typically, the current drawn from the supply during the starting of a variable speed drive would be no more than full load current when the AFC is normally loaded, and up to 2.5 times full load current when the AFC is heavily loaded and the driver's output in approximately 2.5 times full load current. So being able to supply power to AFCs has been a challenge that's fueled many developments of the AFC drives over the past 20 years. And it's probably this which has led us to the VSD solution. But there are many other benefits of using the VSD on the AFC. Capital cost of mining equipment is typically high, owing to the complexities in design, materials and operational requirements, and the AFC is no exception to this rule. The major and most costly parts of the AFC are the pans and chain components. And unfortunately, these are also the very same components which bear the brunt of the abrasive material during the conveying process. Whether the conveyor is piled high with mineral or running almost empty as the shearer performs a gate end turn, it is fact that every time the AFC chain completes a full revolution, a finite amount of wear takes place between the flight bar and the deck plate, the chain and sprocket, and internally between the individual links of the chain. This is a fact of life, and until we're able to invent a true frictionless material, equipment will continue to wear out. Our only defence currently is to accept that wear will occur, but find ways to make sure that for every ounce of material that's lost to wear, we get the most tons of mineral conveyed. And the most effective way that we can achieve this is to vary the speed of the chain with the rate at which mineral is being loaded onto it, aiming to obtain a constant and ideal mineral pile height. And this is where the variable speed AFC drives are able to help. With some level of control and automation, it's possible to calculate the theoretical minimum mineral pile height on the AFC. This can be used as an input to an algorithm which is able to adjust speed of the AFC chain to ensure that this pile height remains constant. Using a basic coal face Z graph, as shown here, it can be seen that in some instances, a significant reduction can be made in the amount of travel that the AFC chain needs to perform in order to convey a given tonnage of mineral. In this particular case, it was calculated that a reduction in chain travel of over 40% was possible, and this was achieved by simply matching the chain speed with actual production rates. So with a reasonable amount of intelligent control, it can be seen that an improvement in the operating efficiency of the conveyor is readily possible, and that this also has major implications on improving the life expectancy of the equipment. A better equipment life expectancy equals reduced overall capital cost. However, there are still further efficiency benefits to be gained. Most of the preceding drive technologies that we've seen in major use over the past 20 years have involved in some form or other a device which either requires an amount of relative slip in order to transmit the torque, or have an amount of inherent slip as part of the transmission process. Unfortunately, slip, which by definition is a relative movement between surfaces or objects, requires an amount of energy, and energy used on creating this is energy that's not able to be transmitted through the coupling to the sprocket, but rather is lost in the coupling in the form of heat. Fluid-filled couplings are generally between 3 and 5% inefficient, and whilst by itself this may not sound like a great deal of losses, when we consider that the system installed power could be currently over 5,000 horsepower, the 3 to 5% losses means a total system loss of between 150 and 250 horsepower at full system utilisation. Further to this, if we consider that by controlling chain speed, we can remove the inefficiencies in operation of the conveyor, as discussed previously, this also adds to the efficiency savings that the intelligently controlled AFC can bring. In fact, it can be shown that with a 40% reduction in chain revolutions, coupled with the elimination of slip losses within a coupling, total efficiency improvements can be over 20%. And this equals $200,000 a year saving in electricity for a 5,000 horsepower system, assuming an electrical cost of 9 cents per kilowatt hour. Obviously, to be able to realise these efficiency improvements, there has to be an effective means of estimating the height of coal on the conveyor, and this can be achieved in a number of ways, ranging from the simple to the more complex. As well as controlling the speed of the AFC as a function of the height of the mineral pile, other inputs can also be used to ensure the smooth running of the longwall system. In a particular case, a mine which utilises top coal caving as a secondary means of mineral extraction have used the variable speed drive solution on their armoured face conveyor to prevent the impact crusher, which is located on their beam stage loader, from becoming overloaded. In this particular application, the system comprises of two 530 horsepower VSDs on the AFC and a single 530 horsepower VSD on their BSL with a fixed speed impact crusher. An ultrasonic device mounted in front of the crusher measures the average bed height of mineral on the BSL and uses this information, together with the crusher motor input power measured by a power transducer, to feed an algorithm which selects the AFC and BSL drive speeds. The system is able to actively slow the feed into the crusher when the bed height is detected as being high and the crusher motor approaches full load. Longwall shear or haul speed is also linked to the AFC chain speed, so that as the chain slows, the loading rate also decreases proportionally. Prior to having this technology available, the mine often suffered from stoppages due to BSL and crushers becoming overloaded when the top coal caving method would send plugs of coal and large lumps through the crusher unchecked. So the benefits of using VSDs on conveyors are not limited to simply controlling inrush currents on starts. Many other advantages also exist. Generally, variable speed drives fall into two distinct categories, integrated drive or independent drive. Integrated drives are characterised by having their power electronics and control components combined with the motor in a single unit, whereas independent drives have their power electronics and control components separated. Each drive type has its merits in different industries. However, for the AFC application in longwall mining, the integrated type, such as Joy Global's OptiDrive, has been by far the most successful. Integrated drives often feature a closed-loop control system, which uses a shaft encoder to measure actual output speed of the drive and feed this direct measurement back into the controller. Whereas an independent type drive, which is in most applications will use a standard AC induction motor, must rely upon open-loop control. Rather than having the direct measure of shaft speed, open loop control requires a learn phase. And during this commissioning exercise, the independent VSD has to determine the characteristics of the electrical power demanded by the motor under a number of unique load conditions. When the unit is subsequently operational, the controller is then able to compare the measured power characteristics with these known characteristics and therefore approximate the motor shaft speed and torque. Having a measure of what speed and torque the motor shaft is actually outputting at any time has its merits and enables the integrated VSD, such as the Joy-OptiDrive, to offer a number of additional features. Firstly, because the actual speed of the shaft is measured directly, the internal electronic torque and speed controller is able to adjust the motor input power characteristics to take account of error to a high resolution, typically 0.1% of shaft speed or 2 RPM. This is particularly useful at low speeds where other systems can become unstable. And secondly, because motor output shaft torque is known, it's further possible to set reasonable limits on expected rates of change for normal operation. Large positive rates of change, it may indicate jammed chain, while sustained negative rates of chain could be an indication of broken chain. In either situation, the key to damage limitation is rapid removal of drive power, and this is one more function that the Joy-OptiDrive is able to provide. Typical power removal delay after detection of a fault is around 300 milliseconds. Despite this, however, the key to preventing many faults occurring in the first instance on the AFC is a robust maintenance program. And one of the most time-consuming aspects of performing maintenance on an AFC can be actually locating and positioning the sections of chain which require work. Variable speed drives have now made possible low-speed continuous run inspections, instant chain reversibility and touch control positioning, all of which make the job of finding the piece of chain required to be worked upon much more painless. However, it's the chain positional awareness capabilities that are set to cut the downtime from chain maintenance most significantly. This technology, which is unique to the Joy-OptiDrive system, allows for a user-interfaceable live map of the AFC system to be continuously run within the control platform and actually physically represents where the chain is situated on the system. Each coupler set, chain maintenance station, chain measurement station, and any other chain feature can be individually identified and logged within the live map. At maintenance times, when the required piece of chain is identified on the electronic map and the control system is able to automatically park the chain with the identified section at the operator's preferred maintenance position. It is envisaged that this function alone will save many hours of maintenance time throughout the typical life of the AFC chain. A further feature of AFC chain positional awareness is that when a high torque event is detected, such as jam chain, a snapshot of the chain position during this event can be captured. This allows a detailed inspection of the high-risk sections of the chain to be undertaken at the next opportunity, and an event log throughout the chain life can be built so that high-risk chain sections can be identified. Excuse me. So as we can see, there are many opportunities to improve the overall efficiency and reliability of the longwall system with the use of VSDs, as well as driving down the overall purchase and maintenance costs of the equipment. However, in some cases, the introduction of VSDs into the mine's electrical infrastructure can pose its own problems. All types of variable frequency drives can present the mine electrical engineer with some challenges. By their very nature or operation, they can cause disturbances to power supply systems, and this is primarily because they present non-linear load to the power supply network. The effect of this non-linear load to the power supply system can be harmonics, which can lead to unwanted heating effects in cables and cause disruption to other equipment. However, harmonics are not always a problem, and in one particular example, an underground coal mine in Europe employs 17 variable speed drives throughout the coal face and coal clearance system with no additional electrical equipment installed to counteract the effects of harmonics. If, however, harmonics are considered to be a problem, then the solution of choice consists of splitting the VSD load between the standard transformer and a 30-degree phase-shifted transformer. Very often, this can take the form of a single transformer unit with one primary and a pair of secondary terminals 30-degree phase-shifted apart. Electrical long lead effects can also sometimes present certain challenges, particularly in the mine environment. Independent VFD units, which have their power electronics and control components mounted separately to the actual motor, often require power cables between the VFD and the motor of significant length, and this can present its own issues. Long lead effects are produced by the motor reflecting high frequency voltages back into the supply cable and can lead to voltage spikes and insulation breakdown over time. And finally, the high carrier frequencies that are generated in the VSD inverter to create the pseudo sine wave can also lead to interference with other longwall equipment when they are transmitted in the long leads. This can be a particular issue when running long leads near to communications cables. There are a number of solutions to this to these problems, however, which are relatively simple to implement. All of the potential problems discussed here are well understood and established, and proven solutions are developed and working in the field. So whilst it's prudent to fully consider all of the potential issues and benefits that variable speed drives bring, these should not be considered to be prohibitive when assessing the feasibility of the implementation into a longwall AFC. Up to this point in time, developments in AFC drive technology have been primarily focused on keeping pace with the producer's requirements to increase bulk tons output by ratcheting up the installed power and making wider coal faces with even higher peak load capacities a possibility. But the recent emergence of high-power variable speed drives into the marketplace seems to have signalled the end of this race for power, with now even more focus being placed on OEMs to develop ways to use the technology to reduce costs and optimise production effort. Joy Global has so far stepped up to this challenge by developing an AFC drive system which is able to offer extended equipment life, a more steady-state approach to mineral production, and significantly reduces maintenance downtime, whilst negating many of the implementation issues from which other variable speed solutions suffer. There is, however, still a long way to go down this path, and much of the burden will be felt by our control and automation specialists. We need to ensure that, once again, technological developments are able to keep pace with customers' demands and guarantee that we are able to continue solving mining's toughest challenges. Thank you.
If anybody has any questions for Gareth, we'll take a couple.